Hey, moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of four books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, The 4-Hour School Day, and my most recent release, Raising Boys to Men. If you haven't checked that book out, all I can say is I'm getting wonderful feedback, have over 100 5-star reviews on Amazon, and I'm just so thankful that moms are finding help in this book. So if you are a mom of boys, I would encourage you to pick up Raising Boys to Men. You can do that on Amazon. You can also get the audiobook from my website, dorendawilson.com/audiobooks. I'll leave a link in the show notes if that is your preference for going through books. Also, I just want to thank you again for being here on the podcast. I am so grateful for all of you. We have hit, about a month or two ago, we hit 3 million downloads and we have over 500 episodes. So that could be a little overwhelming for someone who's new here. So I just want to encourage you to go to the podcast page of my website, and at the top of the list of episodes, there's a search bar. You can put in keywords and pull up episodes that you really need to hear right now. So I'll leave a link in the show notes for that as well. I am on my way to several conferences during the conference season. We're right in the middle of homeschool conference season, and it is a blast. It is so much fun to connect with families in person, to be able to bring encouragement. So I would love to meet you. If you are going to be at any of these places, I would love to meet you there. I'm going to just leave a link because I've got 6 different places that I'm going to be. And again, I would love to meet you in person and chat with you. Also, if you've got teens, be sure to listen after the prayer at the end of this episode to hear about an opportunity you're not going to want to miss. Now, y'all have heard me talk about CTC math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Today, we're going to be talking about how to find local homeschool support and sharing resources with y'all that you might not know about. But before I do that, I want to share from our other sponsors, Heritage Defense. Now, many of you may have heard about our family's negative experience with CPS, and you might be concerned about what CPS can do to your family, and it's a legitimate concern. But did you know that it's possible to reduce your likelihood of being reported just by educating yourself about your state's laws? In addition to offering legal defense for Christian homeschool families, our sponsor, Heritage Defense, has a law and policy vault, which is free to the public. You don't even have to be a member. The vault has summaries of laws in all 50 states covering a variety of issues ranging from vaccines for homeschoolers to newborn health policies. Understanding the law helps families make better decisions and reduces the likelihood of being falsely reported. So you can go to myheritagedefense.org/accessthevault to see the laws in your state. I will put a link in the show notes. Well, according to an analysis from the Washington Post, homeschooling has become the fastest growing form of education in America. Consequently, many new homeschoolers may not be aware of the kind of local homeschool support that you actually have. So today I invited Tara Bentley as a guest to talk about the importance of state homeschool organizations, what they offer, and how you can connect with yours to find local homeschool support. So let me give you just a little background on Tara. She first entered the homeschooling world in 2001 when they decided to pull their oldest daughter from the public school system. With both of her daughters now graduated, she has the blessing to continue to serve in the homeschool community as the executive director of the Indiana Association of Home Educators and on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership. Tara, welcome. I'm so glad you're here today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to have this conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was so important because we were talking about this earlier. There's so many new homeschoolers. And I think sometimes, even though you know other people are homeschooling, you're not necessarily connected with them. And even in the bigger picture, not realizing that you have a state organization. And so the thing that I really want to emphasize to parents is that these state organizations have been in existence for a very long time. These are your people. These are the people who protect your homeschooling freedom in your state. So these are the grassroots people. You know, there's a lot of new homeschooling everything out there because it's trending, quote unquote. But these people were here a long time before any of those people. So these are your people who are committed, absolutely committed to the homeschooling families in their state. And this is why I wanted to bring Tara on so that she could talk more about what that looks like, because I really felt that it was an incredibly valuable resource for all of you. So Tara, let's dive in. First of all, let's talk about how and why you became involved in your state homeschool organization. What brought you to that point?
Well, when we first started homeschooling, it was 2001. I absolutely do not qualify as a homeschool pioneer, but wow, what a different world it was in 2001. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, back then I was, of course, going to go to the internet. And the first thing I found was my state organization and that they were having a conference. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, when you did a Google search back in the day, I wish I actually could, you know, go check that out. Like, what did the internet look like with homeschool information back in 2001? But my state organization was the first resource that I found, and the ability to go to a conference and realize, oh, wow. I mean, we were jumping in the middle, pulling our daughter out of public school. It was supposed to be temporary. It was not going to be long term. And I'm sure you have many listeners who feel exactly the same way, right? We were all those reluctant homeschool moms. And yeah, it was going to be temporary. I went to the conference. I was only planning on getting books. I went with so many misconceptions about what other people were going to look like and dress like and sound like. And, you know, thought for sure I needed a denim jumper.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's a thing anymore.
No, but it was. I remember I started homeschooling in the early 90s. No internet, but still denim jumpers.
I think I bought one at the local thrift store for a while just to hang it in my closet in case it was ever a required piece of clothing. So, but to go to the conference, to hear speakers, and my eyes were just opened, and it really was what equipped us. It's really what encouraged us and let me know that I could do this. So we did that conference the first spring. She was still in public school, actually finishing her sixth grade year. And so it wasn't just the conference though. When I could go to the website, I could get good information and, you know, and a magazine about homeschooling in Indiana. Like how cool, that was so cool. I just thought that was the most amazing thing. And so my organization was what equipped me. And beyond that, not just equipped me, they gave me a vision for something that wasn't going to be temporary in our lives. Right. And to get a vision for what it could look like, home education, family discipleship. And I just, it just changed everything. It just, I believe homeschooling changes lives.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
So for us, the state, you know, IAHE, and I joked about this with you earlier. It's way too many vowels, but IAHE was a part of, you know, giving us the tools that we needed when we started.
Right.
And so that was 2001. I served in local leadership for a long time, pretty much. I think we homeschooled for 13 years because our girls were 7 years apart. I was in local leadership 12 out of those 13 years. And then toward the end, I got the opportunity to start serving with the state organization. And I was a regional rep here in Indiana. I started working on the magazine, joined the board of directors, became the executive director in 2015. And then 2 years ago, was asked to join the national board of directors. And I'm just honored. I'm just honored to be able to pour into these organizations that do so much for families. Mm-hmm. And when you say that most homeschoolers don't know, I get it. Like, I totally get it. When you start homeschooling, you are drinking from a fire hose and there's a lot. And so people understand what they can at the time. And it's a limited capacity to take in all of this information. But I think it is really important that families understand that you need local support in your community.
Absolutely.
You need statewide support and a statewide organization that's here for you. And you need national support. Mm-hmm. And there are national organizations that can help you as well. They're all independent. They're all doing great things. And so it's important that you know about all three. I think that one thing that is important is when people say, we say state orgs, we just shorten it a lot, state orgs. We're not funded by the state. We're not a part of the government. We're all independent, nonprofit, grassroots organizations. Mm-hmm. And like you said, been here a long time. And many of the state organizations just celebrated 40 years.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you said there's three, you said there's national and then state and then your local. And a lot of times they are, well, especially the state and local can be somewhat tied together.
Right.
In terms of like, you could go to your local to your state to find your local organization.
Yes. So right. Most state organizations will have a list of local co-ops or local activities on their website. You know, we do here in Indiana. We also keep a list of sports organizations, which is always one of the top hits on our website. So if you're, whatever you're looking for, you know, your state organization probably knows about it, mm-hmm. can help you mm-hmm. find it, whether it's, you know, a debate team or theater groups, and all communities are different, but no one knows your local community quite like your state organization because we
exactly.
work with them.
Exactly. So if someone were to go to a website, they would find so many resources there.
Yes.
I know that because I've gone to our state website many times, and I love that there is an entire page dedicated to very simply laying out how to get started in your particular state, because it's so important to understand every state has different laws, and you want to make sure that you know what those are and the steps that you need to go to have a legitimate homeschool. So we live in North Carolina, and that requires us to open a homeschool. And so we have mm-hmm. to name our school and all of that. And we have to, you know, always just keep confirming that it's still open. And then when all of our kids have graduated, or if we move somewhere else, we have to close it. And
okay.
that's just part of the deal. And then they have like, they want you to do once a year testing. And so this is something that I think freaks parents out. And I was talking to our state homeschool organization, a gal who's been part of it for forever. And she was talking about testing, and I just thought this was so fascinating. It's a little side trip, but it's one worth taking. She said initially when they started to require testing, the testing was the same testing that was going on in the public school. And so they were all doing the same test, right? After several years, they decided, they were looking at all the results. That's what it was. They were looking at all the results across the board, the public school and then homeschoolers. After several years, they quit doing that. They quit looking because homeschoolers were outranking public schoolers consistently every single year. And they didn't want to see that. They didn't want to look at that. And
oh,
this was
wow.
years ago. This is literally probably at least two decades ago. I could not believe that. That was crazy. So, but anyway, with the testing in our state, my point is, you know, you take the test, but it's for your record, just to know you have it. And if somebody asks, you can say, we took it. Nobody looks at it typically, at least not in our state.
Right.
And do you think that's pretty true across the board for the most part?
Well, I think that what's important is that every state is so different, and mm-hmm. your state organization is the expert on
right.
this, on
right.
what you need to do in your state, because mm-hmm. we don't have a testing requirement. Mm. So here in Indiana, we're one of the freest. I think we're the freest, one of the freest in the country. So we don't have to register. We don't have to test. We are required to, I won't get into all of it because this is not an Indiana specific
right,
conversation,
right.
but we have to keep attendance records, but the
okay.
law doesn't say how, and no, only the superintendent of the state can technically ask. And guess what? Like, they changed the name of the superintendent. I don't remember what the name is anymore. So technically by law, the only person that can ask for it doesn't even exist anymore. but the truth is we are stewards. We mm-hmm. are the stewards of our children's education.
Absolutely.
So we do these things, whether or not we believe someone's going to ask us for it.
Right.
Because no one loves your child like you do. Right. No one. And so you go above and beyond. And we always encourage everyone, you know, you keep the letter of the law. And I live in Indiana, but I live in basically a tri-state area outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. So I've got Ohio and Kentucky and Indiana all right here in my backyard. And we're the freest, 100% between Ohio and Kentucky. We have so little that is required of us that I'm absolutely going to advocate that we do what is asked of us.
Absolutely.
And we want every family to know what is required of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you definitely do want to keep the letter of the law. I think the thing that I was wanting to convey to parents is that's usually one of their biggest fears, is that their child isn't going to do well on the testing, especially if they've come out of the public school system. Testing is such a focus, and it's so not a focus in the homeschool world. Right. So it's one of those things you do, but you do not hang your hat on. And my point was that a lot of people think that somebody's going to look at this and completely like analyze their whole homeschooling plan and their children. They don't have a budget for that.
Right.
There's nobody hired that they can't afford to pay people to do all of that. And so I'm not suggesting you bypass the law, but I am suggesting that you don't make testing this big deal, that it really isn't. And see, if you are part of your state homeschool organization, you will be able to get that vibe, that feel, that truth actually to help you relax and actually enjoy your homeschooling journey.
Well, and again, to keep the, you know, and I know we're not encouraging people to not keep the law, but what you will find is there's so much misinformation on the internet because, so, you know, I talked about our requirement to keep attendance records, but if you get on Facebook and you end up in some random Facebook group here in Indiana, you'll have many veteran moms who will say, oh, don't worry about it, because no one's going to actually ask to see it.
Right, right.
And you really don't want to take that attitude.
No.
You know, no one's going to look at it because you do want to have it. You want to say we're protecting our freedom when we do the right things.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, because we really could cause some serious problems for the homeschool community by not abiding by the law, you know?
Right.
But it's like you said, it's sort of like the letter of the law you want to keep, but also like the spirit of the law is that your kids are continuing to learn.
Right.
They're, you know, what pace, developmentally, whatever, that's really in your court as a parent to be able to watch your child, to know when they're ready for something, to try different things out. You have that freedom in homeschooling, which is one of the reasons we all did it. So
right, absolutely.
Just the freedom. And yeah, I can't imagine doing anything else. So tell us a little more about what homeschool organizations, state homeschool organizations have to offer.
Right. So one of the things, so obviously, you know, again, they're the expert on homeschooling in your state.
Mm-hmm.
They are also the biggest advocate for homeschooling in your state, both to the media when questions come, when good and bad stories come, but to your legislators. They are the ones watching all the bills that come flying through. They have connections with legislators, with your Department of Education, making sure that restrictions don't come, and sometimes through unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So what the biggest benefit I think of your state organization is just that they protect your freedom in many ways you've never ever think about, and mostly in ways you may never even hear about, because we don't necessarily need to go tooting our own horns. But you know, little things like you could have a bill that's not aimed at homeschoolers. And we had a bill a couple years ago, and it was to change the hours of instruction or days of instruction for public schools to minutes of instruction. Well, what this person who wrote the bill didn't realize is that that would change the requirements for homeschoolers to start tracking minutes of instruction. It took one conversation with this legislator, who, by the way, was a homeschool dad, to say, I don't think you know what this will do. And his eyes like popped open. He said, my wife would kill me. Right. So that bill went away. But no one else is watching that. No one is watching all of those education bills and all of those unintended consequences. So being an advocate for you in ways that you'll never even see, I think is the biggest benefit of a state organization.
Absolutely. And there are, I remember there have been so many times having been a homeschool family for 30 years where we've had something going on the state level and we would get an email, you need to call. You know, to all of us got an email to call your representative and let them know that you don't want this. And I'm telling you, when you get homeschoolers on something like that, I mean, literally, I remember one of them, their whole phone system just like shut down because there were too many calls coming in. So, you know, again, the state homeschool organization, I would call them like a gatekeeper.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. so they're standing between us and potential legislation that could be super harmful to homeschoolers. So that we can do the job we're called to do at home as parents and just keep homeschooling our kids. But we have to make sure that we are, like I said, it's so helpful to be a member of your state homeschool organization to be in supporting it in that way. And like for our state, it's like $35 a year. It's not a big deal. And then there's all these resources, which a lot of the resources are free and you wouldn't have to be a member to get them. But it's so nice to say, hey, I'm happy to send $35 your way to keep you keep doing what you're doing and I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
Right. Because when you're homeschooling, you are in the trenches and you don't have the time. You don't have the energy. And so it is important to know. It's just like any other area of our lives, right? Like we can't do all the things. So we need experts for us who can advocate for us. And this is one of them. And I do think, you know, it is important to understand, again, these are nonprofits. These are organizations who are vastly driven by volunteer hours of parents, just like, you know, everyone who's listening, people who said, oh, okay, I have this capacity now and I have this gift and I want to serve in a certain way. And so, you know, I represent Indiana here, but, you know, my volunteers are amazing. And these state organizations led by volunteers across the country and beyond, by people who know the benefit of homeschooling, that this is what we're called to do. And they're out there sacrificing hours and hours and hours to do this work. Even today, people think that these battles were fought, back in the 80s or in the 90s. But we continue to fight them. And it's kind of funny because I know you quoted the Washington Post at the beginning, and everyone's following the Washington Post, but they are on the attack against the homeschool community. They know we're growing. And so they're actually continuing to attack traditional homeschoolers because they don't like it. They don't like the fact that we're growing.
So
that is where, you know, we as state organizations independently and together fight against stuff like that.
And the thing I'd like to bring up this topic just because some of the listeners may not have heard an episode that I did with Israel Wayne on basically, you know, taking government money versus not taking government money for your homeschooling and how dangerous it is. I mean, can you just speak to that just briefly? I know it's kind of a surprise question, but
no, that's okay. But I'll say there's no other expert than Israel. Well, okay, Brian Ray, Dr. Brian Ray.
Right.
But so, I mean, absolutely. We constantly see this carrot of government funding being put out there in front of homeschoolers. And it's only going to get worse. It's getting worse every single year. And in part, I can understand it because the public school system is broken. It has been broken. And so there are so many families that want out, like they want out of that monopoly. And I understand it. But when they want to take the money with them, they're basically creating a pipeline of all of that toxic agenda and regulations into homeschooling. So I'm not saying that the public school needs to remain a monopoly, but when it comes to the funding piece, moving it over into this private space, right? And this is private free enterprise for whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it's a grassroots movement. And when you fund everything, then you have no choice but to be under government regulations. And so it is really important. And so here in Indiana, I said we're, you know, one of the freest states. And that is also in part because of our definition. So we're actually, the word homeschooling doesn't even appear in Indiana code. We're non-public, non-accredited with less than one employee. And so when you start saying, oh, well, we're going to put government funds into non-public spaces, private schools, we've seen all the regulations that have followed for private schools. We've seen the disaster of many of these publicly funded programs, virtual public schools that fail at exorbitant numbers. They're not successful. Charters close all the times. Yes, there are some that succeed. But we need to keep a free space. Like we need to keep a free space for us. And so it is tricky because all of our friends, right, our friends right now in the state house and federally, they think they're going to do us a favor.
Right.
By giving us money. And that is, it is dangerous. It is dangerous to take the government funding because it will only lead to regulations.
Right. There are strings attached to that money.
Yes. And there should be. I'm a taxpayer. There should be.
There should be accountability. Yeah, yes. I agree with that. So yeah, I just thought, you know, that's a topic I haven't really broached in a while. And I thought, let's just revisit that while families are listening because it's so important. And I'll also leave a link in the show notes to my interview with Israel because it was, of course, he was spot on. He's so clear, such a good communicator. So he nailed it to the wall. So if you're even thinking about taking money, please listen to that episode first.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're just going to wrap things up here, but I'd love for you to share why you've already kind of shared why homeschoolers should connect, but maybe share how. What is the best way for them to do that?
Well, I think that the thing that most people think about is probably the most fun part. So let's start there. Conferences, conventions, and events. So your state organization is probably holding a conference. Not all do, but most do. So holding conferences, some hold graduations, capital days. There's all kinds of events that your state organization is putting on that is where you can get connected with families from across the state, you know, beyond your local community.
Right.
So you definitely want to follow your state organization so you can be a part of those events, get on their email, their newsletters, get their magazine, become a member so you can support what they're doing. That it's really important. That is the easiest thing to do is just start attending some events, you know, and show your support.
Absolutely. So I'm getting ready to leave for several events here. And I find it so interesting. I don't think people realize the work that goes into these conferences, the details and the amount of volunteer hours is just unprecedented. It really is. And I've met so many of these volunteers and even leadership. A lot of times they're volunteer leadership.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they are the salt of the earth people. And every time conference season rolls around, I always make sure that I reach out. You know, I'm already talking to conference leaders about being at their conference and the details that go with that. But I always ask, how can we be praying for your conference? And inevitably, every single time they will tell me it is such a spiritual battle. Trying to get these conferences going because I don't think I'm overstating it. I don't think the enemy wants these things to happen because there is so much good that happens there. And there's so many connections made and encouragement to advance the kingdom of God. And I think that he hates that and he hates families. So I just want to remind people, even if you're not going to go to a conference, please just pray for the conferences because one I just heard from, they lost several volunteers. They're just praying for more. That's all they can do, you know, and God is providing and they see God provide. These are people of faith. I mean, when they go into this and they're like, okay, we've got this big hole here. We're just going to pray and we're going to trust God to bring it. So just a million details like that are what have to happen in order for these conferences to happen. And then, you know, even in the lives of the speakers, I know so many speakers and myself, there are things that happen in our families and things right before we're going to speak where we have to just go, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and I'm going to follow through and Lord use me and we go and we do it. And it's not always easy, but it's so worth it. And it's such a, it's an honor to be able to do. But anyway, so, you know, when you're listening to those speakers, just know there's probably a good chance they had to really go through some stuff to get there.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say, you know, pray for all of your state leaders, yes. the speakers. The events mm-hmm. are harder than ever to pull mm-hmm. off.
They are.
We just finished our conference at the end of March here in Indiana. And I'll tell you, it was rough. It was rough. We had venue issues, like the walls that closed the ballroom.
Right.
Didn't close. And then our AV guy, he's up with like, he's like, you want me to tape them? You want to put some tape in there? I mean, okay, that's like the things I can tell you. Like,
right.
I mean, there's just so many issues. But the truth is, most people don't know them. Mm-hmm. Most people don't. And in the end, like, you just crawl into your hotel room at the end of the night
yes.
and just kind of try yes. not to weep under the covers because it's very right. stressful.
It is, and but then, yeah,
it's worth it. It is worth it. Yes. And I think the other challenge, I think, is venues are more expensive than ever. Mm-hmm. The hospitality industry has not bounced back since COVID. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it is a challenge. We're on the hunt for a new venue for next year. So, you know, venue issues, speaker issues, volunteer issues. But we need it. It's a worthy endeavor because, again, it's how you get a vision right. to keep going forward. And so right. that's exactly. why we do it.
Yep, that's right. So I encourage you moms to check out your state homeschool organization and also look right now to see if there are conferences because we're right there. You know, we've just kind of launched into conference season. So it could be a really fun and encouraging thing for you to do. So Tara, thank you so much for being here with us. And I'm going to have you give me some links so that moms can connect with some of the things that we mentioned. And I think you have a link to a list of the state homeschool organizations. Is that correct?
Yes. So, okay. And I know this will be in your show notes, but basically homeschoolfreedom.com is the outreach of the national organization that I sit on where you can find your state organization. You can find more information there about getting started. And Homeschool Freedom is where we host our National Homeschool Day of Prayer every first Friday of November. So if you want an opportunity to get together, be a part of a national event, pray from home with your kids, we've got fun activities. So make sure you visit our website and social media and be looking for that.
Okay, we'll make sure we leave all that information in the show notes for you, Mom. So we're just going to close real quickly in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for leaders like Tara who relentlessly defend, protect, and nurture the homeschool community. God, we thank you for the thousands of people who do this in our country and beyond. I know that other countries have organizations as well. But Lord, we just lift up these moms to you who have been listening. I pray that they would reach out to their state homeschool organization and really take advantage of the benefits and the blessings that you have for them there. God, you're so good. We thank you for all those who've gone before us and given us the right and the ability to be able to homeschool our kids. Lord, what a privilege and an honor. And we just are thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, moms, real quickly before you leave, I want to let you know about Excel's Summer Leadership Camp. It is changing the game of summer camps, and here's why. The average summer camp will host anywhere from 50 to upwards of 300 campers a week. Our friends over at the Excel Summer Leadership Camp hold their camp sessions to a 20 camper maximum, which allows your teen to be intentionally discipled by leaders, building long-lasting friendships that go beyond the camp, and receive hands-on training that will equip them to navigate the world and culture around them. With the first of 5 camp sessions beginning in mid-May, these camps are filling up fast. So head over to the xlcamp.org to register your 16 to 19-year-old today. Thanks again, moms. Have a great day.